You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So that was pretty fun, was it not? Welcome into a new episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, from a very happy Toyota Center, where the Rockets just posted a big win over the Knicks. Just dominated, really, from the outset, at least when the starters for both teams played major minutes. And I know it's two preseason games, only one against an NBA opponent, but it's hard not to feel good about this Rockets team right now. It's not just those of us that are around the team and seeing it. There's plenty of what I would call unbiased national minds. Matt Moore of CBS Sports, who mentioned what was his tweet during the game. It's pretty clear that the Rockets are a team that's trending up the closer we get to the season. You can see on both ends of the court how well the Rockets are playing. A lot of individual positive. James Harden looks brilliant. Capella, especially defensively, has been great. KJ McDaniels, Eric Gordon, all of these guys have shown great individual signs. But I'm going to lead off this podcast with the most obvious takeaway for me, and I said this during the game: the Rockets are having fun again. I know it sounds simple and doesn't mean anything, but it was the biggest thing that was absent, especially early last season. And it goes all the way back to the preseason. It was their first losing preseason in several years. There were lots of injuries, and then they got off to that 5-10 start. It just did not look like those guys enjoyed being on the court together. This game, and really Shanghai too, there is so much joy out there, be it the system, how they fit together. I don't think I've ever seen James Harden smile as much in games as he has in these two preseason games. And yeah, it's preseason, but again, we're comparing to previous preseasons. They are having a lot of fun, and the results are showing on the floor. That helps when you're making shots. Harden just looks absolutely ridiculous. First half, he had, 19 points in 18 minutes on over 70% shooting from the field, 60% from three. A couple of people said put Harden in bubble wrap. I would somewhat agree with that. Of course, you want the team to continue playing together, and you do need Harden out there for other guys to continue building their chemistry with him. But everything we've heard the offseason, that Harden's committed himself on and off the court, that he's in better shape than ever, that he's committed on both ends of the court, including defense, we've seen that so far. First half, dear God, in under 18 minutes, Harden was plus 27, or the Rockets were plus 27 with Harden on the floor. That is incredible. Looking at everyone else, my main takeaway, because I think a lot of us that listened to me on this show were aware that Harden was going to have a big year. Biggest individual standout to me has been KJ McDaniels. The chemistry between McDaniels and Harden, it's off the charts through two games. You can see that D'Antoni is gaining some trust in KJ. Those of us in the media, we talked to D'Antoni about him before the game, and D'Antoni said that he had had a great camp, and what he implored KJ to do was basically be a 3-and-D player. He said, don't worry about creating off the dribble. Essentially, what D'Antoni was getting at is, don't try and be what you're not. Don't try and have excessive turnovers. Just move without the ball, shoot threes when you're open, and play great defense. And D'Antoni said, if he does, he's going to be a rotation player in the NBA for a long, long time. And so far, it's incredible how well James Harden is seeing him. McDaniels knows exactly when to make the cuts. And I know that seems simple. A lot of people on Sunday said, well, those back cuts are going to go away when the Rockets are playing an NBA team instead of the Shanghai Sharks. Well, granted, it's the New York Knicks in the first game of the preseason for them, but those back cuts did not go away on Tuesday night at all. They were still there. And a lot of it's because of the spacing. When you have guys like Ryan Anderson at the power forward spot that can take a defender to 25 feet, when you have Nene at center who can shoot out to 18 feet, when everyone in the lineup can shoot, or at the very least is very athletic in the case of Clint Capella, you can't defend every spot on the court. So there are going to be back cuts. It's a matter of knowing the right time to make them and being in sync with James Harden, who's usually going to have the ball in his hands, and him having an expectation of when he can find you. So far, it's been Lob City between Harden and KJ McDaniels. and it's incredibly early. Kelly Scaletta of Bleacher Report was on with me earlier this week and kind of talked about McDaniels as a Sean Marion light. Again, there's a long way to go, and McDaniels has got to continue to refine his three-point shot. Now, to be fair, the Rockets have actually said KJ has shot it very well in camp. He hasn't made any threes really in games, but it's extremely early. There's going to be a lot of time for him to get more attempts, but they said he's been shooting it really well in camp, in the scrimmages. And if he can do that, yes, there are some similarities, because Sean Marion got so many points on Mike D'Antoni's Phoenix teams based on being a garbage man. He did not get his points really within the flow of the offense. It was because defenses were so concerned about Steve Nash and Joe Johnson and Amari Stoudemire that when they overcompensated for one of those guys, there was Marion making that baseline cut. And it's early, but you can see KJ making that kind of early impression on Mike D'Antoni. I do think it's an interesting takeaway that KJ played in the first half of both games, the Shanghai game on Sunday and the Knicks on Tuesday, with the starters, or with a lot of the starters, I should say, ahead of Sam Decker, and in some cases ahead of Corey Brewer. Now, Brewer entered the game before McDaniels in both cases, but Brewer certainly left a little bit earlier than he would have a year ago. You can definitely see, it feels like that after Corey Brewer and after Nene, KJ might be next on that depth chart off the bench. It seems like he is getting a very real look. So we didn't know before Sunday. We had speculated, you know, is it Corey? Is it KJ? Is it Sam Decker? And we were waiting for the preseason games. So far through two games, it looks like KJ McDaniels is going to be a rotation player. And so far, he's been a very good one. There's very little not positive to say about him. He's been a revelation, and the Rockets absolutely believe in him. The key, D'Antoni's raved about him, but you can see it in James Harden's face. He wants KJ to succeed. He believes that this is a guy that complements his game well. You know, with Harden, one thing about him, Harden is always looking for players to do things without the ball. And it's been so long since the Rockets have really had a player with a lot of explosion like that, especially alongside James Harden. You might have to go back to, early Chandler Parsons, which I can think of Parsons with Harden in that first year. They had a lot of chemistry on similar type plays. Now, I'm not saying that KJ is the offensive player that Chandler is, but he can do a lot of the same things off the ball. And I think James is really responding to that very well. Other positive things. Wow, I loved seeing Ryan Anderson get going. Feel great for the guy. He's put a lot into this team, but he took a little bit of criticism, struggled to finish against a Shanghai team that admittedly was not all that good, finished 5 of 15 on Sunday, got off to a slow start on Tuesday night against the Knicks, was just 2 of 7 from 3 in the first half, and my oh my did he turn it on in the second half. Finished 7 of 13, which tells you that he went 5 of 6 in the third quarter. Ended up scoring 26 points in just 29 minutes. 50% shooting from the field, over 50% from 3. Just a great, great game. And again, I don't think Ryan Anderson was too down on himself. He signed an $80 billion contract because he's been a good NBA player for years. He's a fabulous offensive player at the power forward position. Can stretch the floor, do things off the dribble. But you know what? You go to a new team, and there is a little bit of pressure. You want to show something for those fans. And if he had had back-to-back games shooting 30%, even if it's the preseason, you know there would have been a few questions asked because that's the way these things go. Well, you know what? He stepped up in a big way on Tuesday night in the second half, and you know he joined in on that fun. He was already having an impact because it's his floor spacing that allowed things like the KJ McDaniels back cuts to happen. But for him to get the results, feel great for him because, guys, I can already tell you in just a couple of weeks being around Ryan Anderson, he's a great guy. Everyone around the team, the locker room, loves him. He's a hard worker. Also, he does a lot of the subtle things. He gets a bad rep for his defense, but it's not because of effort. He does some things. He got a couple of just loose ball rebounds on tips. He keeps plays alive. So I think sometimes when you hear a bad defender, you think they're just mentally checked out and it's going to be a disaster. That's not really the case. He makes some things happen with his sheer effort that we saw a little bit in that first half. And even though people are raving about, you know, the Rockets' performance on offense with almost scoring 70 points in that first half, they're also pretty damn good on defense as well. So, again, I'm not saying he's going to be a good defensive player. I'm just saying there are a few positives that you can take out of it. Another largely positive thing is Eric Gordon started at point guard in the place of Pat Beverly. We'll get to that injury in just a few minutes. But Gordon, I thought he was really smooth offensively. He continues to make shooting from distance look pretty easy. Seems to be really comfortable in his own skin, which I think is a big thing if you're going to be in that second banana behind James Harden, at least offensively, which he's probably the second best scorer on this team. Well, second best backcourt scorer. I think Ryan Anderson can give him a run for his money overall. But what I really liked from Gordon, it was not just that he made shots, but he made things happen off the dribble. And I think that's a big deal, because if he's just a stationary shooter, elite defenses can close out on him. What's going to be the key for Gordon is if he can, you know, fake that three and drive. And he made a couple of plays off the dribble that really reminded me of the Eric Gordon from a few years ago. And it shouldn't be totally shocking. I've had guys on this show earlier this offseason. I can think of Brett Dawson, who was the Pelicans beat writer with the Advocate last year. Now he's the Thunder beat writer. But Dawson told me that he saw some things from Gordon athletically that really surprised him in terms of his springs. And of course, he did miss a lot of time anyway, but the finger injury, that was just a complete fluke. The real story is that, knock on wood, Gordon's notorious for his chronic knee situation. That hasn't cropped up in a couple of years. So if Gordon has at least somewhat of his old athleticism back and it can make things happen off the dribble, that is such a big thing, because he's going to get opportunities next to James Harden. He appears comfortable in that secondary role, which is something that Ty Lawson did not offer last year. You could tell that playing off the ball was something that did not suit him at all. Gordon seems very comfortable in that role, comfortable in his own skin. It's just a matter of if he can stay healthy. But if he can, that athleticism, the ability to slash, that can go a long way, because, again, it's just like KJ. There are only so many places opposing defenses can be. So offensively, Gordon has been a revelation. Defensively, you know, he had, what, 5 fouls in just over 20 minutes. That's certainly not ideal. But again, what you're looking at from Gordon this year is to be a sixth man. This starting thing is a temporary phenomenon. So I think if you're matching up Gordon against reserve guards, you can mitigate his issues a little bit. The other thing is that we all know neither Gordon or Harden are ball stoppers for opposing point guards. It's not that they're necessarily bad defenders. Both have shown flashes of capable play, especially on the ball. But for really small, quick, penetrating guards, you know, you'd like to have a smaller player that can stop, and that's not really necessarily Eric Gordon or James Harden. Now, it's not to say that you can't play Gordon and Harden together, but it might be those guys play the 2 and 3 spots down the stretch of a game rather than the 1 and 2. And again, it's preseason. I know I'm nitpicking here. It's one game, and some of the fouls that Gordon had, it wasn't because it was an athletic mismatch. He was just, you know, just a little cheap. Just a little cheapies here and there. But, you know, it's something to monitor, because while there were some signs that his defense got better last year, it's certainly not a strong suit of his, and now he's moving into kind of the middle age of his NBA career, so you don't want to count on Eric Gordon for too much on that side of the ball. Now, typically you're not going to be counting on Gordon for that much, because, you know what, Pat Beverly's the defender of the bunch, and he's the guy that's supposed to check those quick opposing point guards, and, well, he was not available Tuesday night because of left knee soreness. Now, this is unrelated to what kept him out of training camp the first couple of days. That was a cut on his foot. That truly was a fluke. Left knee soreness, at its core, it would seem a little concerning. However, the Rockets said it was a precaution. No one in the locker room seems that concerned. Even so, he's not going to make the trip to China, so he's also going to miss the next 2 preseason games. And I saw some people on Twitter worried about it. I would not take too much of him not making the trip. The thing about the Rockets going to China, and by the time you're listening to this, they're probably already on the flight because they left within an hour of the game. I talked to Tracy Hughes, the media relations director for the Rockets. Oh, wow, is it a flight? It's 16 hours over there. And then, of course, there's trying to adjust your body by the time they play at 6:30 Sunday morning, Houston time, is the first game in China against the New Orleans Pelicans. So if you have any issue at all, sickness, medical, whatever, the number one ally in your corner is rest. particularly sleep. And if you're the Rockets and you have anyone that's, you know, not really right, there's no reason to put them through all that travel, all that time, and the extreme pressure conditions of an airplane, trying to readjust your body to somehow sleep on an 180-degree different cycle, all for preseason games. It's just not worth it. If there is anything wrong at all, then just let them rest in Houston. Let them use the facilities in Houston, the medical team that the Rockets have around the city. There's no reason to push the issue, especially because when the Rockets get back, there's still going to be several preseason games left. They take the court on Saturday the 15th against Memphis, I believe, here in Houston. So there's still plenty of opportunities to get him revved up for the regular season. And you know what? If you bring him back Saturday the 15th, he will have had almost 2 weeks off. He played on Sunday the 2nd, and then he can get almost 2 weeks before Saturday the 15th. So again, that doesn't prove that it's nothing, but all I'm saying is that you can't prove that it is something just because he's missing that trip. You just have to stay optimistic. Another thing that I pointed out on Twitter as a reason for optimism, this is not his troublesome right knee. When Beverly started having a knee situation, it was in late in the 2014 season, the 2014 playoffs, when he continually had issues with the meniscus in his right knee, which he never fully surgically repaired. And if that were having problems, yes, it'd be fair to wonder, you know, oh, is this issue coming back again? No, this is his left knee, one that we don't know he's had any pre-existing condition with. So again, I don't see any reason for a ton of concern at this point. Another thing that's positive for Pat, as he said on Media Day this year, you know what? He's dropped a lot of weight. He's dropped 8 pounds already. He wants to drop six more. Could be 15 down from his usual playing weight by the start of the year. And the reason he's doing that is because he wants to reduce the stress on his joints, on his knees. Because these days in the NBA, there's no real point to bulking up if you're a guard because you can't play physical anyway. If you try and check someone like Stephen Curry or Russell Westbrook, the official is going to call that foul every time. That's just the way the league is. So if you're a defensive-minded point guard, which Pat Beverly is, and they need him to be that, because neither Harden or Gordon, you know, you can't expect those guys to check a quick point guard. Well, if Beverly's going to last in his mold, his style of play, he needs to be lighter because, you know, reducing the stress on his joints, on those knees, is the only way he's going to last. So hopefully that'll make it even easier that, you know, if they, you know, nip this problem in the bud right now, that the knee issue should not linger. And again, you know, they're certainly not going to say everything to those if it's in the media, but no one around that locker room or around the Rockets showed much concern about this at all. It's certainly not like Dwight last October when he had the issues with his back, and you know, there's always concern if you're talking about Dwight Howard and a back injury. This does not feel like that at all. Everyone thinks this is a very temporary thing, and the only reason why he's not making the trip to China is because of the extreme travel demands associated with that. I'm trying to think. Other negatives besides Beverly? Not many. I will agree with those on Twitter. I was not a big fan of Pablo Prigioni. I also didn't think he played that well on Sunday. He's not looked in sync with the offense. He's had a couple of really ugly-looking turnovers. Did rattle in a three, but in addition to turnovers, just quite frankly, his game looks a little stuck in cement relative to how athletic the rest of this team is. And you could play that with how the Rockets played under Kevin McHale and J.B. Bickerstaff, but his lack of quickness and probing ability is really glaring with how the rest of this team plays. My guess is that the reason Pablo's getting so much early run, and to be fair, he did play with the rotation in the first half of both Sunday and Tuesday's games, is because Tyler Ennis is so new. Remember, Tyler Ennis, acquired from the Bucks really a day before Media Day, has not even been here 2 weeks, really a week and a half. So I don't think Mike D'Antoni, especially in an offense like D'Antoni's that's known for point guard play, wants to throw someone that new and that unproven into the mix that quickly. I think Prigioni is the fourth guard. Of course, tonight he was the third guard because Beverly didn't play, so it was Harden, Gordon, and, well, I mean, I guess Corey Brewer and KJ McDaniels could each play a little bit of two, but Prigioni certainly got some time because your only traditional point guard, or somewhat traditional point guard, Pat Beverly, was not in the mix. If Beverly's there, then maybe Prigioni's not even in the rotation at all because you can run Beverly, Harden, Gordon, and then, you know, either Brewer or KJ at the two. But if you do want to have a second true point guard, I would hope that Tyler Ennis eventually wins that job, and the reason he's just not there now is because of his youth and experience. And, you know, Prigioni's been there before, I get that. But he's looked a little bit like a fish out of water with this particular team. And again, caveat, two preseason games, extremely early. We're just trying to deal with the limited sample size that we have. But really, that's about the only negative that I can think of. You know, even the guys we haven't talked too much about. I thought Corey Brewer looked pretty good again. Leaked out in transition, anticipated the offense really well. Is doing some of the things he did 2 years ago when he was such a good player away from the ball. And, you know, he's certainly not as athletic as KJ McDaniels, but some of the skills that make KJ good in D'Antoni's offense, as we discussed earlier, well, they could make Brewer pretty good too. So, yeah, keep an eye on him. He's played well. Decker, I think it's clear he's had some moments, especially offensively, but I'm going to give a shout-out to my buddy Rocket Intellect, who predicted that Decker, we might all be ahead of him, ahead of ourselves on Decker, because defensively he's still a rookie, and rookies traditionally are not that good on that side of the ball, and that's what it looked like. He had a couple of possessions against Carmelo where Carmelo pretty much schooled him. And, yeah, it's going to be a work in progress. I think it'll be better as the season goes along, but for right now, it's easy to see why Corey Brewer and KJ McDaniels seem to be ahead of Decker in the pecking order, because they can bring a little bit more to the defensive side of the equation. But overall, still have to be pretty pleased with Decker. He's made some things happen offensively. Doesn't seem like the game is too fast for him. Assuming he continues to make steady improvements defensively, he should fit in just fine, and odds are through an 82-game season, you're going to have injuries anyway. So even if he's not in rotation to start the year, he's certainly got time to win a spot as the year goes along. Anyway, that happy note, going to wrap up. Again, main takeaway, beyond any individual success for the Rockets, this team is having fun and just enjoy it. This time last year, the preseason, it was their first losing preseason in quite a while, and it was, you know, it was definitely a sign of things to come. The team, the pieces just did not seem to fit that well. And a lot of people, especially after the 5-10 start to the season, started pressing. Everybody thought it was their duty to bring the team back to expectations to what it was a year ago. And the team unexpectedly was less than the sum of its parts. So far, this team might be better than the sum of its parts, just based on the chemistry they have together and the joy they seem to be playing with. At a bare minimum, they can certainly achieve their talent level, which is something that they did not do last year. They just get to their talent level with James Harden in close to MVP form, it seems like, and pretty quality role players like Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza. This should at least be a mid to upper 40s win team, and in the middle of the playoff seedings in the Western Conference. And if they, you know, overachieve, yes, you could absolutely make a run at 50, and this team being really, really good. It's still extremely early, two preseason games, but I don't think, especially for those of us that are around the team, seeing them in the locker room, at practices, they're just having so much more fun than they did a year ago. And when you look at that team a year ago, and you look at why would a team be worse than its collective talent level, well, that's a reason. And if you're looking for them to be, you know, at the very least, play back to their talent level, if not exceed it a little bit, the same way they did 2 years ago, I would say their demeanor on the court is a positive sign in that direction. And you know what? Really, I think Daryl Morey's comment on Media Day that it kind of reminds him of the team 2 years ago that was written off before the year by the national media and then ended up winning 56 games, the Southwest Division, 2 seed, getting to the Western Conference Finals. They're certainly not as overall talented as that, because that had a Dwight Howard close to his prime, but they kind of bonded over their slights in the media, and they just played well together and used the their status of being overlooked as fuel. And you know, it's early, but that's what we've heard this offseason, that's what we've seen in camp, and two preseason games, yep, it's preseason, but you know what, it's playing out that way on the floor. So for right now, there's not much reason not to be positive. So again, another happy final at Toyota Center. Rockets big win over the Knicks, their first NBA competition. Thank you guys for tuning in. You can always follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And you can always email the show at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. If you've got any questions for me, sponsorship inquiries, things you want to know about the team, you name it, I'll try and answer. And we're really going to try and answer it this week, because you know what? Things are going to get pretty quiet in the next few days. Because again, the Rockets heading to China immediately after tonight's game. They're going to be in a plane for the next 16 hours getting over there. And really, we're not going to hear much from them until Sunday morning when the team finally gets back on the court against the Pelicans. Because you know what? Not many reporters, myself included, are being funded to go all the way to China for preseason games, unfortunately. So there's not going to be many media availabilities. And what limited there are, there's certainly not going to be reporters from Houston that are there. So, again, I think it's going to be quiet for a few days and while we wait on that game on Sunday. So towards the end of the week, I do want to answer some of your questions, anything you might want to know about this team, I'll be happy to answer. And you know what? If we get lucky, maybe we'll even have a little bit of news on the Donatas Mataunas front as well. Keep your fingers crossed. Until then, I'm Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790. I'm signing off. Be back with you again later in the week.